It's going to be a lot of fun this morning, hopefully. It already has been. Live stream, we're not on YouTube. We're just on the church's Facebook. Technology is wonderful until it doesn't work. I'm going to try this morning to be fast, fun, and hardest of all for me, focused. So I got my alliteration out of the way, so we're on a good start to a good sermon. We're going to start in 1 Timothy 6:17. And the people that are on the live stream on Facebook, they've already got a pretty good idea about what this is going to get into because of the name of the live stream. So we're in 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you so much for this body of believers that we have to fellowship, to come around your word and to study it, to open it. Lord, that we may grow closer to you, that we may understand you better, that we may know you more. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with this sermon. Pray that you would help me. Pray that you would speak through me. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, in that verse 17, he says, do not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. We need to trust God. We don't need to trust in uncertainty. Right now, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. We need to see God everywhere because he is everywhere. And we need to see that truth and who he is in every aspect of our lives. It's mind-boggling, some of the things that we're going through right now, things that a year ago, we never would have dreamed that we'd be facing. We need to see God in everything to make sense of all of this. We've lost time. We've lost precious resources. And most importantly, we've lost loved ones. Friendships are frayed. Marriages are on the rocks. And churches are divided. This is a very serious time. And we need to see God in all these things. We need him. We need God. We need God. This is a serious time for us believers here today in this room. Some of us are grieving. Some of us are worried about loved ones who are sick, who are lost. We're on the backside of a very challenging revival meeting, right? So we're dealing with some very serious convictions, some of us, and we're trying to work through some of those serious things and how we're going to be obedient to the Word of God and how we were challenged. Very, very serious. And these serious things are a big reason why I wanted to focus on the topic of today. I wanted something a little less heavy, something that's a little more fun, yet still challenging and very much true. On the tail end of a virus and politics dividing families, I wanted to encourage you in the theology of Chibas. How many of you know what Chibas is? It's a Latin word for food. Okay, so we're going to talk about food and how God sees food and how it affects us today, right? And how we can see God in food. I was going to get the Greek word for food, but I couldn't pronounce it, so I went back with the Latin word, so that's a little easier to say. Food gives us sustenance. It gives us energy, allows us to continue living. Food gives us pleasure. It brings us joy, and it can bring us together. And that's the biggest thing that I want to get about today is how God has given us food to enjoy, has given us a place to come together. When life is going crazy, we can come around the dinner table and we can see God in the food and in the meal that we have. The people, it's not necessarily in the food itself, but it's the people that we share this food with. And so, in case you didn't know, scriptures have a lot to say about food. Just take a quick search on any search function, any piece of technology that you have. 48 verses. Have the word food. There's 583 that have the word eat, and there's 274 that have the word meat. It's interesting. God says in Genesis 9:3, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things." If God has so much to say about food, it must be important. And so we're going to examine three different meals throughout Scripture, and we're going to see how God reveals himself in each one of these places. And our three pillars of Scripture are going to be Exodus 16, Matthew 26, in Acts 2. We'll get started in Exodus 16 right now. I pulled up some quotes about food. And these are some, you know, lost people, some secular people, but they have a really good idea of food. Some of them are chefs. Some of them are just people who understand food. And one of my favorite ones is, a balanced diet is a cookie in each hand. That's right. Another one is, people who love to eat are always the best people. I like to eat, so I like to consider myself one of the best people there is. Cesar Chavez, you guys know him from history and working with migrant farmers. He says, if you really want to make a friend, go to someone's house and eat with him. The people who give you their food give you their heart. Man, it's good. Popular guy on TV, I'm not sure exactly how you say his name, Guy Fieri. He says, cooking is all about people. Food is maybe the only universal thing that really has the power to bring everyone together. No matter what culture, everywhere around the world, people eat together. Now, obviously, we would say it's the gospel, but we want to use this time where people are going to come to you. They'll eat with you, and then you have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And then an old Irish proverb says, laughter is brightest where food is best. We like that good food. All right, so now on to Exodus 16. Some of you guys are already familiar with this passage. We've got the nation of Israel wandering in the wilderness. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. A little ridiculous there. Then the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord has brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Man, what a wonderful response to the ridiculousness of the nation of Israel. And how many times do we fall into the same traps of getting overwhelmed with the current situation that we're in, and that we don't see God? We're complaining to the people around us, and we're not trusting in God. We don't understand our position with God, that we are the children of God, we are the people of God, and he is interested in our provision and providing for us. In verse 2, it says the whole congregation was murmuring. The nation of Israel at this time was wandering through the wilderness, and they had just left Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land. And different scholars have different estimations, but we're looking at probably around 1 million people. And you got the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmuring against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. How would you like to be Moses and Aaron? I'm going to tell you right now, when you get up and speak in front of people that you know and you love, and they're not murmuring against you, it's hard enough to speak as it is, right? Your hands get wet and your mouth gets dry. Like, that's just the way things go. But how much more faithful are these guys when we see that they're standing up against this whole congregation, and the people don't like them, right? And they're still able to stand up and challenge them to do what's right and to worship God. In verse 3, it says that, this is what people said, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full." There's something interesting. I looked up flesh pots, like, what is this? And basically, it's crock pots full of meat. And there's a lot of us that probably have crock pots going on right now, full of some food. Which is interesting, because some of the scholars say that was kind of a weird thing to say for Israel, because the people that were in poverty in Egypt didn't typically eat meat. And so they were remembering their condition in Israel or in Egypt better than what they were in right now, like better than what they remembered it better than it was, which is one of those things we get into as well. Man, things were a lot better back then when they really weren't, right? We trick ourselves into making up these memories. And these people were what we affectionately call hangry, right? And so in verse 4, we're going to see one of the things that that God uses food for. He said, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." So God here is using food to test Israel, to show, are you actually going to be obedient to me? Or are you going to be disobedient? Are you going to follow in my law or no? And then we're going to jump down to verse 12. And he shows himself here. He says, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, At even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." And God is using food here to show himself to us, to show us his provision, to show us who he is and what he is like. And he's using food here so that we may know God. And in John 17:3, Jesus is praying, and he says, "This is life eternal, that they may know you." And this is something that God can use food to bring people to have a knowledge of God that we wouldn't otherwise get. This is something that is huge here that we see just in one particular picture in Exodus. Okay, so let's go on to Matthew 26. I'm going to be in verses 26 to 29. Some of you already know what this is as well. This is the Holy Week. This is the week leading up to Israel, or leading up to Easter. Talking to Ben yesterday, telling him what I was going to talk about, he said that Sunday is Feaster. It's a word that he started calling it. He said it's his favorite holiday. Feaster. So we're in Matthew 26, verses 26 to 29. And it says, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Here we have the institution of half of the church's ordinances. All right, we have the Lord's Supper and we have baptism. Those are our two ordinances. And this is something that we see here. The purpose that God shows to use food and drink, bread and wine, to show us salvation, to give us a picture of what was going on, that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood, and that we must become partakers of his sufferings. We must die to ourselves in order that we might live. And God is using food. He has chose food to give us that picture, to show us that his body has to be broken, his blood has to be spilled. And this is what we use to remember. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are remembering his death on the cross, his payment for our sins. That's what we use. We use food to remember that. And we have communion with one another when we do that. This is something that we join together, that we have lost ourselves, we have died to ourselves, in order that we may gain eternal life, that we may know God. I mean, this is a picture of the glorious gospel, and God chose to use food to illustrate it and for us to remember it. So we'll go ahead and jump over to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be in verses 42 to 47. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, the people that continued were the 3,000 that were baptized and saved and added to the church and in the verse prior. Verse 43 says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and in breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, as such should be saved. This we see in this passage, how the Lord has used food to provide us with fellowship, that we can have fellowship one with another over a meal. And that discipleship, discipleship happens effectively here. We see that. I mean, the Lord added daily, and they used that fellowship they had. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, and that God used this time of eating, these meals, to accomplish discipleship. It was accomplished. It was grown. The bride of Christ, the church, it was grown through fellowship, through breaking of bread. This is something that we use, or that God used here, to grow his church. If you guys remember Jesus, he said there were two great commandments on which hang all the law and the prophets. He said that you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. And the argument here is that you can't love God without loving your neighbor. And you can't love your neighbor without loving God. And I'm going to present an argument to you today that if we are committed to Christ, we have to be committed to one another. We have to be. If we have fellowship with Christ, we have to have fellowship one with another. In the challenging aspect of this right here, this question is, how can we ever be committed to each other if we never share meals? If we never do this thing that God has given us and shown us so clearly in the scriptures to demonstrate who he is and all these things, how could we ever be really committed to one another if we never share a meal? And so it worked together for the early church. Now, why can't it work for us? Like, we all have a desire to see our church to grow, both in number and in spiritual growth and the knowledge of God, knowledge of the word. Like I said, it worked for them, and I would challenge you. This is the challenge, to make a commitment to have people at your house and to provide them with food, to cook for them, to cook good food for them, right? Sometimes McDonald's is you know, it's good for the family when you're running around, going to ball games and whatnot, but sometimes when you need to sit down with your family and have a good cooked meal or something that is a little nicer. Let's take the effort, right, to make it presentable, to make it good. And it brings me to 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, right? This is something that we want to do. Like, even in the cooking of our meals and preparing of our meals, if we're going to have somebody over, we want to take the time to give God glory, not only in the preparation of the food and the food itself, but also in the conversation, right? If we don't bring up the conversation of who God is and talk about those things over food, then it's kind of a vain thing, right? We get to grow closer to one another, but the point here is we want to encourage one another in the Lord. We want to encourage discipleship. And when we eat, we want to think about some things, right? And what we saw here in Scripture, we want to think about the provision of God. when we want to think about the salvation that God has provided us, and we want to think about the fellowship with God and with his people. And remember, God is the creator of us all. He created the food. He created our ability to enjoy it, the taste buds. And God deserves and should get the glory when we eat, whether by ourselves or hopefully more often in the future with each other. That when we think about it, when we eat good food, and we have the proper perspective in this, that we are giving God glory. He is the creator. We are seeing him in this meal, and we're seeing him in the fellowship with other believers. Like I said, I encourage you guys. Hopefully this has been exactly what I wanted it to be. Fast, fun, and focused. I didn't get off on too many rabbit trails there, which is, as many of you know, is not a good trait of mine. Speaking in short increments of time is also not a good trait of mine. But I appreciate you guys. Appreciate you listening. We'll have the musicians come. And during this invitation time, I ask that you heartily consider what we talked about, what the scriptures show to us. Consider, if you're in doubt of this, consider studying food and meals yourself. Consider going through the scriptures and seeing what God has to say about food. Obviously, we can get off into sin when we abuse food. But at the end of the day, I think there's way more to be gained, way more good things to be gained from food than just throw it off on the side. This is something that we should be talking about. We want to bring God into every aspect of our lives, and that includes food. Let's go ahead and pray, and then I guess we'll do the invitation. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for Jesus, his death on the cross that provides us salvation. Lord, we thank you so much for this time that we have, and I just pray that you would help us, that you would challenge us to bring you into every aspect of our lives, particularly food. I pray that we would use it as a tool to reach those that do not know Christ, that we would use it to draw closer to one another, fellow believers, that, Lord, that we would use it to bring you glory. That's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.